We'll begin our service this morning in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's start by reading Psalm number 25. The reading will be from the modern King James Version, but you can follow along in your pew Bibles or whatever other Bibles you have. Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Do not let me be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none who wait upon thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who sin without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee I wait all the day long. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been forever and ever. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my rebellings. According to thy mercy remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he will teach sinners in the way. The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he who fears the Lord? He shall teach him in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am wasted and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let purity and uprightness keep me, for I wait upon thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And now we'll sing in the favorite hymns of praise, hymn number 158.
What a privilege to have the piano and organ both playing today. Really enjoyed it.
Man of sorrow, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinner to reclaim, hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and sealed my pardon with his blood, hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty thou and helpless way, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement can now in heaven exalted on, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes our glorious King, all is ransomed home to bring, then anew this soul Savior.
continue our reading of the history of the early Christian church in the book of Acts. The reading this time from chapter 11, beginning at verse 19. Now they who were scattered abroad by the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to no one except the Jews. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. He exhorted them all with that purpose of heart that they should cling to the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed to Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that for a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days prophets from Jerusalem came to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each one according to his ability, decided to send relief to the brothers who lived in Judea, which they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Sing hymn number 237.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story. Where they nailed him, written in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Say, let me wait. story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
This time to aid us in our worship, a special number. Continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew, the reading this morning in chapter 11, beginning at verse 25. This is a very precious portion of Holy Writ. It begins with the words, at that time, And at that time, it looked like the ministry of Christ was a complete failure. The cities where he had done his mightiest works turned a cold shoulder and was totally rejected. Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. And yet we find Christ thanking his Father for that little flock that the Father had given him, rather than being depressed about the children of Satan who reject it. Now, the only man ever who gave thanks for failure, because it really wasn't failure. And then come some of the most comforting words in all Holy Scripture. The reading then beginning at chapter 11, verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. Neither does any man know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And when things are blowing up in your life and mine, we can do the same thing Jesus did. Trace it all to the hand of the Father and give thanks. Sermon hymn number 413. Continue our verse-by-verse study of the life of Elijah and then Elisha. The text recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 19, 20, and 21. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But the people answered him not a word. If you were walking along the seashore of the Mediterranean, you would come to a place where a great big mountain jutted right out into the water. And that mountain is beautiful Mount Carmel. The name Carmel means the park place. It would be the kind of place where you would want to have a Sunday afternoon picnic. Those who have been there tell us that you'd be hard-pressed to find a more beautiful place anywhere in the whole world. Mount Carmel shoots straight upward and then levels off into a plateau, then goes up on a second tier, and then way up on the third tier. If you were standing on the top, the highest part, you would be 1,728 feet above the level of the sea. And you would be able to see for miles and miles and miles across the Holy Land. A simply beautiful place. And this is the scene of a war council that took place during the days of Elijah. On top of this beautiful mountain stood 450 prophets of the false god Baal, 400 prophets of the groves which ate at Jezebel's table, wicked King Ahab, the most cruel and wicked king Israel ever had, representatives from the people of Israel, and the prophet of the Lord, Elijah. Here was a war council. The stakes were very high. The winners would live, the losers would die. Elijah began the festivities by asking the people a question. How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. These people were fence riders. They were going right down the middle of the road. They really couldn't quite make up their minds. And Elijah pressed a decision upon them. How long are you guys going to ride the fence? How long are you going to halt between two opinions? Now you make a decision. If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal's God, then follow him. But the people answered him not a word. They sat there and remained silent. They didn't know what to say. And this is one of the loudest silences in the whole Bible because it says something. Jesus says, He that is not with me is against me. There's no such thing as walking right down the middle. There's no such thing as riding the fence. You can't do that. If you're not for Jesus, then you're against him. And no vote is a vote against Jesus. And that was the problem that these people had. They were in worse condition than anybody else in the whole world. There was another person one time that remained silent. And I'm going to tell you what happened to him. It happened at a wedding reception. A whole bunch of people were invited to the wedding. And they were sitting there eating, and the great king walked in. And the king was there because it was his son that was getting married. And this is in Matthew chapter 22. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Everybody there had a wedding garment on except this one guy. He didn't have one. And the king saw that. And the king said to him, Friend, how come you came here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. You want to know why he was speechless? Because he didn't have an excuse. He couldn't say, I couldn't afford one, because they gave them away at the door. This was the custom of the day. They gave it away for free. The only reason he didn't have one on is because he said, I'm not going to put it on. I'm going to go dress the way I am. That's good enough. And when the king came in and said, "Hey, how come you don't have a garment on?" The man was speechless. You know what the king did? Then the king said to his servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." It was a very serious thing not having the wedding garment on. Because the wedding is pointing to the last day when Jesus Christ is going to marry his bride, the church. And the ones that have the wedding garment on, these are white robes that are handed out by Jesus Christ. They're his righteousness. He says to you, "You take your sins and give them to me, and I'll take my perfect life and I'll give it to you. And I'll pay the price for your sins so you can have this garment free." And you know how he paid that price. He was nailed to the cross and he died. And God thundered all his wrath upon Jesus. He paid for every single one of your sins on that cross so that you could live and come to the wedding, not as a guest, but as his bride. But you have to have that wedding garment on. You can't come dressed in your own filthy rags. The Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. You can't get into the wedding that way. You've got to have his garment. This man didn't have it because he didn't want it. It was offered to him. He just said, "No, I don't want it." The king said, "Fine. Cast him into outer darkness." That's hell. You know, there's no light in hell. There's fire, but there's no light. It's a mysterious kind of fire. "And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In the Greek, they're translated this way, "There shall be the weeping." Really, the only kind of weeping that there really is. This is the real thing down in hell. You say, "Well, we weep too." Sure we do. But not quite the same way. We have promises when we weep. The God, the Lord says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And God says he loves you so much that every tear that you shed, he keeps in a special bottle. And someday he said, "I'm going to wipe away all tears from your eyes. I'm going to take away all the sorrow that you had and all the tears that you shed. I'm going to make you forget about that whole thing. I'm going to give you a new heavens and a new earth. And there's going to be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, and no more death." That's what your father says to you. What about the children of the devil? What's going to happen to them? A kingdom of outer darkness. The bottomless pit where they sink forever and ever and ever and never stop. Because they hated Jesus. They didn't want his garment of righteousness. They said, "We'll work it out our own way. We'll do our own thing. We hate him." And so that's what they get. And can you imagine the kind of weeping they're going to undergo when they realize, you know, we don't have any hope anymore. All we've got now forever and ever is the wrath of God in this terrible place called hell. That's the seriousness. And that's what was involved with these people. "How long will you halt between two opinions?" Elijah said. "You've got to make up your minds." And they answered him not a word. You know why? You know why they couldn't make up their minds? Because they really weren't willing to pay the price to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I mean, you look at their past history. They should have been able to make up their minds. Their ancestors were slaves down in Egypt for 400 years. And God came down and delivered them to freedom by sending 10 devastating plagues in Egypt in 1 year. And when they left Egypt, they were happy. They were wealthy. They journeyed down. They camped by the Red Sea. And then they looked up, and here came Pharaoh's army charging at them. Pharaoh wanted to destroy every one of them, and the situation looked hopeless. Moses said, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation which the Lord will give you this day." And they watched, and God parted the waters of the Red Sea. This is one of the favorite stories of children, isn't it? And the children of Israel walked right through, and a wall of water on their right hand and a wall of water on their left, and they were walking on dry ground. Pharaoh said, "I can do it too," and he came right in after them. And then all of a sudden, the walls of water collapsed, covered his whole army. Not one man got away, not one horse got away. The most powerful army in the world was destroyed. And for years after that, in Egyptian history, you don't hear of any military expeditions by the Egyptians. They were destroyed. So then the people went out in the wilderness. For 40 years, God fed them with manna from heaven. They came to the promised land. They couldn't get across because the river was at flood stage. God said, no problem. He piled it up, shoved it back for them, and they walked across on dry land. They went to the city of Jericho. It had walls that reached way up into the heavens. How can we destroy that city? God gave them the victory without even firing a shot. They walked around it. The walls came tumbling in. There were battles that God fought for them that you aren't going to find in any other history in the world. One day the sun stood still for almost a whole day and it didn't get dark so Israel could get a victory. Hailstones fell and the people were all mixed together and the stones only hit the enemy and not one of them hit one of God's people. These people knew all that. Why couldn't they make a decision? How long are you going to halt between two opinions? Ah, but you see, they were afraid to take the risk of faith. And you see, this is true, that Jesus Christ will give you his garment for nothing, but it's going to cost you everything you've got in order to keep it. You're going to have to take up your cross every day for him. You're going to have to follow him, and you're going to have to suffer. And they were saying, well, I don't want to do that. But there is a risk involved in faith. The Lord Jesus says the one that finds his life is going to lose it. But the one who loses his life for my sake, that's the one that's going to find it. Now we either believe this or we don't. Jesus said no one can serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There is no such thing as a free person. Everyone is a slave. We're either a slave to God or we're a slave to the devil, but there's no other choice. And there is a risk involved in living your faith. I'm going to read to you about a person that took a risk one time. His name was Nicodemus. The risk that he took is involved in John chapter 19. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Now, the body of Jesus is dead, hanging on the cross. And there also came Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 100 pounds weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. This is rather amazing. Let's look at old Nicodemus. You remember him? He was the Pharisee. The Pharisee that first knocked on Jesus' door late at night. And Jesus opened the door, and how surprised he must have been to find a Pharisee standing there. Why did Nicodemus come at night? Well, for one reason, probably, he was a respected teacher of the Jews. And he didn't want to spoil his reputation by talking to a young rabbi. If he'd have been seen doing that, well, his reputation would be gone. So he came at night. And he said to Jesus, you know, we Pharisees know that you are a teacher come from heaven, because nobody could do the miracles that you are doing unless God be with him. Now this was early in the game, and already the enemy admitted that Jesus came from God, but they thought he was just a teacher. Well, he is a teacher, but he's more than that. He's a savior. So Jesus had to teach this teacher. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus couldn't believe it. How can this be? He said. You can't enter your mother's womb a second time and be born. You see, Nicodemus thought that he had one foot in heaven already. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you haven't even started. You've got to be born again. Nicodemus says, how can I do that? Jesus said, they that are born of water and of the Spirit That's the thing. You got to be born of water and the Spirit, and you can't do it. God's got to do it for you. Nicodemus said, how can this be? I don't understand this at all. Jesus said, you mean you're a teacher in Israel and you don't even know this? The very basics of salvation he didn't even know. And Nicodemus left that night, he was confused. But he studied this, he thought about it, prayed about it. Next time we see him, he's sitting with the Pharisees again. And the Pharisees had sent some soldiers to capture Jesus when he taught in the temple. The soldiers came back and they didn't have him. The Pharisees said, why didn't you bring him back? They said, never did a man speak like this man speaks. You should hear him preach. The Pharisees said, are you deceived by him too? Have any of the Pharisees believed on him? And then Nicodemus, being one of them, defended Jesus. He said, is it our custom to condemn a man before we even hear him and knows what he says? That was a courageous thing for Nicodemus to do. And they all turned on him. And then finally, in broad daylight, Jesus walks up to the cross, or Nicodemus walks up to the cross and takes down the body of Jesus. Do you think he was standing in front of his class on Monday to teach? Do you think he was even alive the next day? You know what I've often wondered? Why didn't Nicodemus wait a few days? I mean, he knew what Jesus said. I'm going to rise again on the third day. Why didn't he wait? All he had to do was wait 2 or 3 days, and then he could go out and see if Jesus really did rise from the dead, then I'm going to be a Christian. If he didn't, then he is not risking anything. Ah, but you see, Nicodemus didn't even know if he was going to be alive the next day, did he? None of us knows that. And the Bible says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This is the day that your soul is in danger and mine. And if you see what God wants you to do, you do it today. You don't wait till Monday. Nicodemus was right. And he took the risk of faith. He wasn't going to halt between two opinions anymore. Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that, and I'm willing to put my life on the line for it. I'm pretty sure he lost his job, and they probably murdered him. But so what? He lost his life for Jesus' sake, but he found it. I really feel sorry for these people on top of Mount Carmel because they ended up losing their souls. How long will you halt between two opinions? But they answered him not a word. Now you and I are involved in this scene on Carmel because we have to make a decision too. And you can say, well, I made the decision to follow Jesus many years ago. But you have to make that decision every single day. It's not something that you do once and then it's all over. Because the temptations are always there. How long are we going to halt between two opinions? And don't we sometimes finding ourselves just doing that very thing and instead of taking the step of faith? You know, the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3 has 7 letters. And these letters are written to 7 churches. And these churches are representative of the New Testament church. If you plot them out on a map, they form a circle. And some people believe that there's a chronology involved here, that the first letter to the first church is a church as it was right after the days of Jesus, and that as you get further on in these letters, the churches kind of change. And I believe this is true, and if it is, then the letter to the last church would be the church which most describes the churches of our own day. It's a church of the letter to the church of the Laodiceans. And listen to what their problem was. Jesus says to them, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now that's another way of saying you guys are halting between two opinions. You're not hot, you're not cold. If God is God, then be hot and let your hearts burn with love for him and follow him. If Baal's God, then have your hearts turn as cold as ice and go follow him. But you've got to make a decision. We would say it's God or the devil. And these people were saying, we really can't make up our minds. We don't know. Well, I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, what do you think Jesus says? Because you're lukewarm, I'm going to open the gates of heaven to you and let you come in. Not for lukewarmness. Because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. I don't want any part of this sort of thing. Lukewarm, that means you're voting against Christ. There is no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. What was their problem? Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you know not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And this is the condition of most of the people that call themselves Christians today. They've got a head knowledge. And you give them a test on religion, they can pass it on paper. But you know, doctors tell us that between the mouth and the heart in a human being, there are about 8 inches. And these are the 8 inches that God looks at. What you say doesn't make any difference. It's what's in your heart. And Jesus looked at the people of his own generation. And he said, this people, they draw nigh to me with their lips and they honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. They had cold, stony hearts. And this is the problem. This is the problem with these people. They thought they were rich. God looked at them and said, but you know not that you are poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and eye salve, that your eyes be anointed with eye salve, that you may see. And then he says this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And let's not step aside and let this arrow go right by and let it be shot at somebody else. I can assure you, the Holy Spirit has no one in mind but you and me. Because we need this too. And then he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. And I will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. We'll have a prayer. Lord Jesus, we confess to you that we often have been lukewarm also, and that we also many times have halted in our opinions. But we pray that of your grace and mercy you would send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to rekindle the love that was once there. That our hearts may be aflame with love for you. That we may make by your grace the decision of faith and take the risk of faith and gladly give up everything so that we might have you. Knowing that if we lose our life for your sake, we will find it. We pray now the prayer that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. We'll close with hymn number 337.
Lest I forget.
led tenderly mourn and weep. Angels in robes of light array guide thee one through its web, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary, let me like Mary through the gift to thee, sure.